Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach, always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question.
Do you really think somebody can change when they suffer from sexual addiction? And yes, I absolutely know that they can change, but they have to do a lot of hard work. They have to do the internal work on perhaps the trauma that combined with some early sexual experiences produced sexual addiction. They have to do the in-the-moment work, you know, the day-to-day work that helps them to become healthier. And when they do, when they follow the recovery steps and they do the internal work, it's a recipe for success. And I'm here to tell you that although initially most sex addicts feel like their life is a shambles and they'll never get through it, they feel like they miss something that they had before. You know, your sexual addiction is your best friend. It's what medicates you. It's what makes you feel good. It's your go-to place when you need some sort of solace, when you need a little bit of help, when you need a little bit of support. So, okay, it was your best friend, and now you're giving it up. Of course, you're going to feel like you're missing out on something. You're going to feel that initial sense of deprivation just in the same way as somebody who gives up alcohol, drugs, gambling, you know, how they feel. And I liken it to a diet. But what I know to be true is there is no comparison. But certainly, when you're on a diet, you say to yourself, my gosh, I'm not going to get to eat cheese bread. I'm not going to get to drink beer. I'm not going to get to have bacon. I'm not going to get to have tiramisu. Well, that's going to make you feel discouraged, and you're probably going to go back to old behaviors. But if you really do see that you're going to get to eat healthy, that there are probably substitutes that you can make that may not be quite as rich and delicious, but hey, once you get used to it, they bring you great satisfaction. They bring you great joy. When you access a support group like the 12-Step Fellowship in SA or SAA, Recovery Nation, or many other support groups, you will then feel like you've developed some relationships, some skills, and learned some things that you never knew before. Now, tonight in my group, I asked every man to go around and talk about what they missed the most from their addiction. Because we had one guy who had slipped. He had 60-some days of recovery, and he went back to porn this weekend, and he masturbated. And he was so mad at himself, but at the same time, he held a healthy perspective, and he said, you know what? What I know to be true is that I stopped myself. I didn't go into days and days of it. I'm getting better. I'm getting healthier. I can see my progress. So I asked everybody, hey, what do you miss most about your sexual addiction? One person said, I miss the medication. I miss the go-to place I can attend to that takes me away from my current pain. One person said, you know, I miss getting to withdraw from people and solely depending on myself and my addiction. You know, that was a real familiar place, and that person missed that. Another person said, you know, I miss the admiration I got from women that I groomed, that, you know, fed my ego. That was really important. Another person said, I miss the rush. I miss the rush way more than the sex. I miss the rush of fantasizing about what was next. Then I asked the group, I said, okay, now, And one man who's been in recovery about 4 years said, I don't miss anything. And the other guy says to him, I got the bullshit meter going here. I don't buy that. Well, we couldn't get this guy to back down, and here's the truth. The truth of the matter is that when you've done recovery long enough and when you're solid enough, it may be tough for you to remember what you missed because your life is so full. You like yourself a lot. You enjoy the fact that you have integrity and authenticity, that you don't have to lie. Well, I'm giving away all the things the guys said that they liked better. One guy said, man, I love not having to remember my lies. I love being honest. Another man said, I love that I like myself. I never liked myself before, and now I have integrity. Another man said, you know what? I love that I didn't mix my addiction with all the other addictions that I had, and I am clear. There is clarity in my life. I am no longer faking my existence, trying to act as if I'm doing really well and I got my you-know-what together. Another man said, you know, I like that I'm really able to look my wife in the eye and be honest. And another man said, I like my relationship with my wife. I didn't used to like it. It was filled with fraud. It was filled with stress. It was filled with conflict. And now I really like it. So I'm going to ask you, if you suffer from sexual addiction, if you're on this radio show because you want to learn more about it, and you've tried recovery, maybe you've been successful or maybe you haven't, I got to ask you, what are you missing or what are you going to miss the most from giving it up? And then I'm going to ask you, what would you suspect that you would like the most from being free from this addiction? Now, we all know that that might be a loaded question. I said free from the addiction, and so many people say, hey, you don't get free from the addiction. You just learn how to manage it. I got to tell you, there are some people that do feel free from it, and then there are other people that say, you know what, I'm not free from it, but I definitely know that it no longer holds me back. I have learned new ways to work around it. I am no longer a slave to what it wanted me to do. And that is the amazing thing. You know, I had a couple of buddies, and they were clients of mine that knew each other, and one of them really needed to work out their anger towards their family of origin. Because what had happened is that this one person realized that he had eroticized rage, which means that he felt anger about how he had been living as a child, how he was brought up, how he had been neglected, how he had been abused. And he had fused that with sex. And as a result, he took his anger out on women. He went to prostitutes, he exploited them. He went to massage parlors, he exploited them. He was angry. But his anger had actually moved from anger to control. I'm going to do what I need to do. These women deserve it. They're a mess. They're exploiting themselves. They deserve to be exploited. And, you know, one of the tools that men in recovery use, women too, to reset, if you will, your thinking, is when you find yourself objectifying sexually, you got to ask yourself, okay, now that is somebody's mom, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's niece, daughter. And when you do that, you humanize somebody that you've objectified and dehumanized. And so part of eroticized rage means getting in touch with what you're really angry about and then acknowledging it, externalizing it, being really, really angry, forgiving it, and then letting it go. Those are all crucial steps to getting healthy. And so tonight, I had these two guys that were friends come into the session, and the one used the other person as a container. Okay, I'm going to tell you the process, and you tell me if this is something you might do. He was really, really angry at his mother because she used him as her surrogate husband. She was very, very enmeshed. She only really cared about herself, and she sacrificed her son. So he had his buddy come in, and we said to the buddy, okay, you're going to be the container for the anger. You're going to put your hands out as if you're holding something, water, whatever. And then what we're going to do is you're also going to be the mother, and this man is going to share with you his venom, his anger, his sadness, his loneliness, his hurt, his pain. And he's going to tell you how he feels, and he's going to pretend you're his mom, and you're just going to hold the anger. You're not going to respond. You are just going to be a mirror for what he's going through. Okay, that's called the Vesuvius, and that is something that we so oftentimes do in couples counseling. We have couples do that with each other. So this man just shared all of his feelings, his betrayal, his anger, the fact that he was going to stop the generation, the fact that he was mad that his mother had treated his wife so poorly. Okay, that's what we decided to do, and this man let it out. He had written a letter. He had done his trauma egg. We'll be talking about that next week. And he had let out his feelings. And the beautiful thing is, truly was beautiful, that he got to show some emotion he had never been in touch with before. Now, that has to happen in a therapy session. That can't just happen in your 12-step group or with a buddy. You've got to have a good therapist who knows how to do that kind of work. And I'm recommending a CSAT, which, of course, is a certified sexual addictions therapist. You know, tonight I have Jonathan Taylor on, and he actually is a licensed clinical social worker who has 7 years' experience working with teens and adults who are struggling with issues ranging from mood disorders to sexual addictions. And he created a tool called your Daily Intensive Deck. It is a tool that actually helps people stay on focus, stay in touch with what they need to work on. It helps to build insights, and It also is helpful in mastering skills that are foundational to mental health and emotional wellness. So I'm telling you, Jonathan is going to be talking about how these decks work and how simple they are. And I, you know, I'm always looking for great recovery tools. And I met this man at our CSAT, well, ITAP convention. It's a conference that we have where we learn new skills. And I, if I'm not mistaken, his deck sold out. I remember thinking I was going to ask him for a deck and have him on the show. And I was going to take a look at those before I actually purchased one. And he, they were all sold out. Therapists around me said they were amazing. And so I said, hey, Jonathan, I want to have you on the show because I want you to talk about your decks so that people can buy them and it can help, obviously, the addicts to focus on what's important. So I highly recommend that you think about these decks. He's going to be giving you a website that shows you how to purchase these decks and how to get healthy in your own recovery, because I'm telling you, there are plenty of tools. You just have to use them, and that's what this show is all about. So, Jonathan, welcome to the Carol the Coach Show. How are you?
I'm well, Carol. Thanks. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. I was just talking to my listening audience about the recovery tools that they can utilize, some therapeutic, some very basic, and I was talking a little bit about your daily intensive decks because this is something that you actually created, did you not?
Yeah, I did. In the therapy world, when I have a client who's really struggling to grasp a concept or get traction on an issue, I'll usually recommend an intensive. Sometimes that's something that I do. Sometimes it's something I send to another therapist for, and they'll spend a set amount of time. Some of these are a week, 2 weeks. Some of them are a couple days over a weekend. They'll spend some time really going deep on the subject with a really intense focus, and they usually walk away with some more insight and some better tools to interact with whatever the issue is. So these intensive decks are designed to help folks who use them to do that on their own. It gives them a daily exercise around one subject that they really get an opportunity to dig deep and learn about that subject in a way that they never have before and to go deeper with it than they ever have before.
So obviously, you might recommend this to somebody who really needs to focus and go deeper than they've ever gone before. And would you give us an example of the topics you might use with these decks and help our listeners to understand how do these daily intensive decks work?
So right now I have five topics, five different decks, and there are anywhere between 48 and 98 different cards. And these five topics include Hurts Me and Helps Me. These are two separate decks that I think do a really good job on helping with four-step work and 10-step work. They really help you take inventory of your assets and liabilities. I think that's a place that I see a lot of folks get stuck in their recovery work, is being able to accurately and fairly see themselves both for the great things that they bring to the table and the things that they bring to the table that really shoot themselves in the foot. So these Helps Me and Hurts Me decks really help to make that process a little more accessible, a little easier, and to give you some ideas where to start. We also have a deck I call the Identity Deck. This is just very basic self-knowledge. I remember when I finished graduate school, I would joke and tell people that I was a survivor of graduate school and that I was getting reacquainted with what it meant to have a life. And people would ask me, what do you like to do on a weekend? And I'd think, first of all, what's a weekend? I haven't had one of those in a long time. And second of all, I don't know what I like to do anymore. I think anytime we go through a big change in our life, we have to get to know ourselves again because we change. So this identity deck really helps you to develop a functional relationship with yourself, starting with likes, dislikes, kind of surface things like that, and you go deeper into what have been some of your most meaningful experiences, both painful and joyful. Got another deck of cards that has to deal with higher power. This is another issue that I see a lot of folks get hung up on. Unfortunately, higher power for a lot of people is synonymous with the religion that they grew up in, and sometimes that's not the greatest experience, so the higher power decks really help people to kind of start from a beginner's mind and start from the ground up in understanding what a higher power means. It's not necessarily dealing with concepts of God, just dealing with concepts of things that are bigger than you, things outside of you that have influenced you. And then the last deck I have is grounding. Probably the biggest thing that the addicts that I work with come in with is really intense emotions that they don't know where to start on. They don't even know how to breathe through those intense emotions. So the grounding deck gives you about 50 different exercises that just help to do some basic grounding in your body, calming your mind, that really give you a leg up in dealing with some of the intense emotions. So these decks, depending on which one you're using, they kind of offer you a place to start in the day and start building some meaningful recovery routines where you're really introspecting, really thinking through kind of some bigger questions and actually practicing some skills that will help you to be more functional.
Well, that absolutely makes sense. Now, are these decks something that you have to use with a therapist, or can you use them on your own?
Oh, absolutely not. The majority of people that use these decks are people that I've never met before, so not even my clients. I think these decks are a really great way to start kind of your morning meditation, your morning devotion. They're a really good check-in in the middle of the day, and they're a great way to end the day. The questions I've tried to make them, or the prompts I've tried to make them, pretty accessible, pretty simple, something that you can think through pretty easily. So they don't have to be used with a therapist, but they can be a really great recovery aid people can use on their own and with sponsors and other support people. I think having conversations around some of the topics and some of the prompts can be very helpful in deepening your understanding and also getting to know some different perspectives that can help to broaden your own perspective and help you to get some, I guess, some bigger vocabulary or some better ways to describe what you've experienced.
Well, absolutely. So let me ask you, when it comes to, for instance, the feeling focus, you said that you have about 50 exercises that can help them identify feelings or at least get more comfortable with those.
Yeah. With that, I like to use the metaphor or the story. Last summer, we put my two-year-old in a swim class, and I thought that was, I wondered what they were going to teach him, because I've been his parent for 2 years and haven't been able to teach him anything, felt like. We got to the class, and the teacher said, the goal of this class is not to have him swimming laps at the end, but it's to teach him how to be safe in the water. If they were to fall into a pool, we want to teach them how to jump off the bottom and grab a lung full of air before they go down again, and then jump off the bottom again and grab a lung full of air so that they can keep breathing until help comes. When it comes to dealing with really intense feelings, I think that's where we start. We're not learning how to make the feelings go away or how to shift the feelings or to make them disappear. We're really just learning how to catch a breath so that we don't completely flood or completely overwhelm until some more help comes or until enough time passes that feeling isn't so intense. So that's really what those grounding exercises and the grounding deck offer is some skill to be able to come up for some air when you're in the middle of some really, really tough emotions.
Absolutely. So give us an example of one of the exercises that would actually apply to an addict.
Yeah, so one of them that I will use a lot with myself is just, you know, sitting in your chair when you feel something big come up. I get in tune with the four different quarters of my body, so I'll tune into my top right half, check kind of muscle tone, check any tension that's there, and I'll release any tension that's there, and then I'll move to the left top half of my body. Again, check for any tension, any aches or pains, and I'll release that, relax that, and then I move to the bottom right half and do the same, and the bottom left half and do the same. The exercise takes about, you know, 10 seconds, but if it's something that I'm really, really mindful about and really tuned into, it can do a lot to shift some mood or put enough break in the anxiety or whatever it is that I'm feeling that I can kind of get my whole brain back online thinking again instead of just drilled in on what's making me anxious.
Well, yeah, I can see where that would have two major impacts. One is obviously it would ground you to yourself and it would remind you that you are really here in the here and now. And then too, for anybody who tends to disassociate, and certainly addicts have been known to disassociate, or partners of addicts really do a fabulous job of disassociating to the point where they end up protecting themselves, but they aren't in the here and now. So that would be a very helpful exercise so you wouldn't disassociate and you'd be present with your feelings as well as your physicality.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the key of grounding. It's being able to distract yourself long enough from the intensity of the emotion that you can focus on what's bringing up the emotion, or you can focus on what's going on in the present moment.
Absolutely. And so obviously you had said one of the topics is hurts me or helps me, and I don't have no idea what you're referencing, but I know that one of the men in my group, he always asked people, he asked the addicts, he says, you know, whatever you just described, is it moving you towards recovery or away from it? And when that occurs and when you look at life that way, it's easy to say, yeah, porn probably may not be my drug of choice, but it's not moving me towards recovery, so it must be moving me away. So can you share a little bit about that focus on hurts me and helps me?
Yeah, the hurts me, helps me exercise is something that I've given to clients initially, usually in a first or a second session. I'll just ask them to make a quick list, whatever problem they're dealing with. Can you list the things that are helping you deal with this problem? And can you list the things that you're doing that are hurting you in dealing with this problem? So these decks I've made a little bit bigger because if your audience is like me, there's hundreds and hundreds of things that you're doing that hurt you and hundreds of things that you're doing that help you. And I think it's important to cast a wide net and grab them all. So these are just one word on each card that describe different attributes. Like in the Helps Me deck, you might look at, there might be words like driven, focused, compassionate, kind. In the Hurts Me deck, it might be words like anxious, cutting, sarcastic, just different attributes that describe us. And so on either side, whether you're working on your assets or your liabilities, I like to shuffle through the deck and go through until I find about three or four cards that are describing me that day or in that moment, and then I'll take some time to kind of journal about why those are describing me right now. So if it's assets that I'm looking at, that's a really good way to focus on my strengths and a really good way to look at utilizing those strengths throughout the day in a meaningful way. If I'm working on some of my liabilities, some of my step four stuff, that helps me to get focused on what might be a pitfall that day or things that I'm going to need to look out for. And I'll often carry around a couple of those cards in my pocket to remind me, hey, this is going to be a big liability today. You made a plan to look out for this. Let's be accountable about this. Or on the other hand, with the Helps Me deck too, remember you really connected with compassion this morning. Let's look at some ways that you can meaningfully use compassion so that you're developing that gift even more.
Absolutely. Now, at just what point, I'm curious, because obviously you are an entrepreneur as well as a therapist, how did you decide this would be very, very helpful, and how can people get your decks?
You know, it hit me. I was in a training for Gottman-style marital therapy, and the Gottmans have developed decks to help couples connect, and I remember sitting in that training thinking, you know, I hand my addicts these workbooks. I hand them big volumes to read to get inside education about their disease and about their struggle. And a lot of them come back and say, this is just way too much information. I'm way too overwhelmed. And I really liked the approach that Flash, or the accessibility that flashcards gave because it was just one thing at a time that you could focus on. If you were overwhelmed with more than one thing, you could just focus on that one thing really easy. And it was really versatile. You could go through that deck many, many times, shuffling it, coming back to answers again. So I started developing these and sent them out of my office, and now I've got a website. The website's johntaylorlcsw.com, and that's John, J-O-N, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, letter L-C-S-W.com. And you can click the banner there that says Your Daily Intensive Decks, or there's a graphic you can click, and there's an order form. You can order those, and I ship them right to you.
And how much are these decks?
So the identity decks, the higher power deck, and the grounding deck are all $15. And then I sell the Hurts Me and Helps Me deck for $20 each. So it's a bit of an upfront investment, but as I look at the way that I design these, if you were to get all of the decks, you have over a year's worth of morning devotionals or morning focus work to do, which the research suggests being able to focus in the morning, really hone your brain in on things that are important to you, makes a big difference in how the rest of the day goes, and also helps build some of that essential gray matter in the brain that really helps the brain to heal and to bounce back from diseases like addiction.
Well, that totally makes sense. And, you know, you say it's an investment, but my goodness, anybody who has had a sexual addiction probably has spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on it. And if not, they've certainly spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours on it. And so
right.
It's not much of an investment at all to get that kind of brain, neurocircuitry development.
Yeah, and I would say the investment doesn't even just stop with what you get from the series of cards. You're really working on building this part of you that at my practice we refer to as the inner observer. It's this part of you that acts almost like a news reporter when things are going on. Instead of getting wrapped up in judgment or commentary or you should have done this or you shouldn't have done this, the inner observer is just really able to describe what's going on. And we know that having a strong inner observer is really helpful in dealing with intense and new situations. So this inner observer can really get non-judgmental. It can be compassionate. It can be very descriptive. And I think one of the biggest advantages I've seen my clients have in having a strong inner observer is their stress and some discomfort. Instead of rushing to a solution or rushing to make the feeling end, they can kind of calmly and compassionately hang with that feeling until they see the next right step or they can feel the next right step to take.
Yeah, so it's also a process that helps you slow down your responses to things and to really ponder and reflect on what are some of the best choices.
Definitely, and that's, as you know and as your listeners know, that's something that really goes out the window in addiction. There's not a lot of slowing down. There's not a lot of thinking through. It's really that survival, fight or flight part of the brain that's active most of the time, and it's like a muscle we have to exercise to be able to slow down and really evaluate the situation that we're in and really see the options that we actually do have.
All right, so now I've got to ask you, as a therapist, we have a lot of clinicians that listen to the show, some of which are certified sexual addictions therapists and some are not, but they really are getting more and more of these cases and they're looking to understand. So how might a therapist use the decks in a session?
These are things that if I'm having a client that's really having a tough time grounding, even at the beginning of the session, I'll pull out the grounding deck, I'll ask them to pick a few exercises, and we'll do them together. This might sound counterintuitive, but we really do our best grounding and our best calming in the presence of another person. So sometimes I'll start off a session with that, and that puts another tool in their tool belt that they're able to leave with an experience or a grounding technique that they really connected with and really had a good experience with. Other times, when I'm having a client sitting across from me who's doing a really great job taking somebody else's inventory and having a hard time getting responsible for themselves, we'll pull out the Hurts Me and the Helps Me deck and we'll have them connect with some of their assets and liabilities and that helps to refocus them on their story. There's other times we reach the end of the work we've needed to do for that hour and we have some extra time. And so we might pull out the identity deck or higher power deck and just explore briefly some of the questions there or some of the concepts there just to give their brain something to start working on between when our session ends and the next time we talk.
You mentioned the identity deck. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of my sex addicts and particularly relationship addicts do really good at honing in on other people and honing in on other people's likes and dislikes and nuances in them so that they don't have to face the pain of rejection or face the pain of disconnection in a relationship. I think that same kind of energy and that same kind of focus can really do good things for a person when they're able to turn that on themselves and really know how they work and know why they work the way that they do. So the identity deck is really about getting in touch with your own story, getting in touch with some of your history and some of your current likes, dislikes, your current passions, a lot of the folks that I talk to early in recovery can really feel the pain of having lost touch with what they're passionate about and what's meaningful to them. So the identity deck really helps you to create your story again and know what your story is. Patrick Carnes, in a lot of his literature, will talk about how story is really important in changing the brain, and story is one of the fundamental ways we connect to other people. I think it's really hard to connect with another person if you're not already connected to your own story and not already feeling your own story. So that's really what the identity deck is designed to do, is to really get you in deeply into your own storyline and help you to start asking the kind of questions and having the kind of curiosity that helps you to know why your story has come together the way that it has and why you've responded to your story in the way that you have.
Well, that makes total sense. So part of that identity deck is getting comfortable with your own story and then moving that story perhaps to, you know, a different story you want for your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've seen a lot of that story shift as my clients will take what they've discovered about themselves through the identity deck, and they'll take that to a sponsor or they'll take that to support people. And they'll really get to feel the impact of their story having been the way that it's been. It's been pretty rare that I've seen someone really connect with the pain of their story and then not say, I want it to be different in the future. And then they start getting connected with some other storylines and some other possibilities. I think addiction, and especially sexual addiction, does a really good job at getting us lost in fantasy, but fantasy is not the same as dreaming about a bigger and better and brighter future. And that's one of the things that I think is important for an addict to regain in their recovery process, is the ability to dream about what life could be and what they're excited for it to be, rather than just focusing on how disastrous it's been in the past or how painful it is in the present.
Well, you know, so much of what these decks are about are on personality development, you know, whether it's on impulse control, whether it's on who you want to be, whether it's about contributing towards or contaminating what you really want in life. I mean, it's obvious that you've done your research here to identify four very important areas to work on. And so, again, I'm talking with Jonathan Taylor, and he has a website where you can get these decks. You can buy them individually. You can buy all four. There is not a price for all four, right? You're buying them all individually.
Currently, I am not that tech savvy to put that together. Maybe tonight I can work on that in my PayPal store, and I can put a special package price on there for your listeners.
Well, that would be wonderful. We would love that. Now, so what should I tell the listeners? To be patient, give it about 48 hours so that you can take a look at that?
Yeah, give it about 48 hours because I'll have to contact my web developer to get that up on the site. But I think normally all the decks together is somewhere in the neighborhood of, let me think here, 45 plus 40, 85.
About 65, wouldn't it, four decks?
Yeah. We'll do it for 70, so that's like a deck for free. We'll do 70 for all five decks for your listeners, and I'll have that up in the next 48 hours.
Well, that is wonderful. I'll be one of your purchasers because I'm really looking forward to using these decks. And I was telling my listening audience that you sold out when I saw you last.
I did at Symposium. I was really surprised. Speaking of dreaming and having goals, I came up with this idea about 2 years ago, and I launched it in my practice and sold it to people there, but I have a limited number of clients, and, you know, they stopped buying, and I thought, well, that was fun, and I guess that's over now. And then at Symposium got, I guess, an email that went out to everyone in general, if you have anything that you'd like to sell in the ITAP bookstore, bring it. And I brought it and was really shocked to see that there was a demand for it, and so that kind of reignited some fire, and I've been putting some more work into this, and not just the decks, but I've launched a Facebook page and an Instagram account, all under Your Daily Intensive, I'm trying to put out some daily prompts for meditation, for connection, some opportunity for you to tell parts of your story so that you're connecting with a bigger community who is all doing the same kind of work to understand their stories and and to understand what makes them tick.
Well, that's amazing. And it is all about community, isn't it? I mean, everybody's doing their own very important work, but if you can move that towards a community of some sort, then you're not necessarily having to reinvent your own wheel. You get to learn by virtue of what other people have dealt with.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. I love the saying from Alcoholics Anonymous, this is something that you will do by yourself, but you will not do it alone. And I think that aspect of community is pretty essential in somebody's long-term recovery. It gives you opportunity to practice things that you've never done before. And like you said, learning really great things from people who know more than you and who have been a little further down the road than you are.
100%. Now, Jonathan, where are you actually located?
I live in Utah, just outside of Salt Lake City, born and raised around here, and that's where I've set up my practice now.
Very good. So anybody who's in the Utah area close to Salt Lake City could conceivably work with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a pretty bustling little practice with 5 different therapists, and we have a really tight team approach. So if you come to work with one person on our team, most likely through the course of your treatment, you'll work with everybody on our team. And that we were just talking about community. That's a really important part of what we offer to our clients, is a really close-knit therapeutic community that helps them to achieve their goals in treatment.
Yeah, that is ever so important. And the team approach is always the best. You get the most support, as do your clients. So I admire you for being a part of that community. Now, let me just ask you, as we begin to kind of wrap up, now, I know that it is so important for people to utilize recovery tools. They can't do it by themselves, and they really need to... they need to get excited about their recovery. Can these decks be used with couples? Because I get so many addicts and their spouses, the partners, that come in and they've been to marital therapists and they want something new and different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, the grounding deck I think is a really powerful one to use with couples. Couples in long-term recovery or who have gotten past some of the initial storms of their marital therapy, I think are really benefited by learning how to calm and soothe one another and to calm and soothe in each other's presence. That's something that I've seen couples use, is even for a date night, they'll pick a few different grounding exercises and they'll really work those together, and they'll be able to connect with their senses, with their intellect, with their spirits, and that can be really great. I've also seen the Helps Me decks be really powerful in couples when they're having that negative sentiment override and having a really hard time connecting with their partner's positive traits. I'll divide that deck in half and have them each leaf through, and they have to find 3 of those positive attributes that describe their partner at a time when they've seen that attribute really work. So that's really helped to shift gears and to shift focus into appreciation and really helping your partner to know, I notice you, and what you do matters to me. I've also heard of couples working together, and the higher power deck. I think higher power work can really be amplified and really helped along when you are working through that with somebody that you trust and somebody that you love. So I've seen them have some of those conversations together. There's even some art assignments in the higher power deck, and they've completed those together and really been able to talk on a deeper level about what their higher power means to them and where their ideas of higher power come from.
And you're saying they actually used using art as a way to communicate that?
Yeah, there's a couple. I haven't been formally trained in art therapy, but I love what can be expressed through drawing or through creativity. And so I feel like higher power is about so much more than what our words can describe. And so I included some things in there that helped folks be a little more experience oriented. And so there's a couple prompts for, I think one of them is draw a picture of a time where you and your higher power solved a problem together, or draw a picture of what it feels like to feel your higher power's approval and love. And some different writing prompts, poetry, writing songs, things like that really help to tap into that creative side.
Yeah, Yeah, that makes lots and lots of sense. And we know that if you're using right brain and then you're using left brain, I mean, this really does help the neurocircuitry in the brain. You said before it expands the gray matter. Can you say a little bit more about that for people that may not understand brain science?
Yeah, so one of the things that we know on a neurological level with any kind of addiction is that you're going to get actual shrinkage of the brain, particularly in the frontal lobe and the parts of the brain that have to do with impulse override. There's a literal disintegration of the brain. Not only does the brain shrink in some places, but also the brain is not connecting those neural networks that connect the different parts of the brain that do their different jobs. And when they work together, we are pretty healthy and happy. In addiction and trauma, there's actual disconnect and disintegration of the brain. What we know from folks who are recovering from strokes, there's a really good book I read on this. It's called My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolte-Taylor.
Oh, yeah,
she was a
Sorry,
what was that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's one of my favorite books.
It was fascinating, wasn't it? I loved how she described, as a neurosurgeon having a stroke, what it was like to be inside of her body as her brain was not functioning. And she talked a lot about how she had to care for herself on a neurological level. And she really had to push herself once she was at this level of functioning, really had to push herself to think about things. It was almost like exercising a muscle. And she had to use a lot of creativity to actually get some of that gray matter to grow back in her brain, to get her neurons talking again and her brain integrated and healthy.
And so, again, these cards work with that, you know, the different parts of the brain, and actually encourage you to expand the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you sense the world. And when you expand that, you're actually growing gray matter.
Absolutely.
And I know Patrick Carnes says, because you and I are both CSATs, Patrick Carnes says, truly, when you're in active addiction, it takes 3 to 5 years to fully develop those neural pathways in a new and different way. And so that's why you got to stay on it. You do things a day at a time, but it is important to know that these kind of changes don't happen overnight, and that you just got to keep doing similar steps, say, at all times. And yet what you're encouraging people to do is to stretch out of that comfort zone and expand some of the ways you see, feel, think, and learn.
Yeah, and I know from my own experience that trying to stretch out of that comfort zone all at once and in a big way is really, really uncomfortable. That's too scary for me. But I can do a little bit every day, and I think that's what makes the biggest difference in a recovering person's brain and their life, is just pushing a little more every day, stretching a little more every day, and hopefully through this system you learn some of those patterns about getting curious and asking questions that really light up your mind and really light up your spirit, so that your recovery work isn't just drudgery, filling in the worksheets, completing your steps or whatever, but your recovery work really becomes about discovering you and loving and getting involved in your own story.
Well, 100%. And, you know, you had made a valid point to me when we met. You said that there are some real benefits to journaling your responses over thinking about them and thinking them through. So can you talk a little bit about how journaling can also make a huge difference in recovery?
Yeah, I think if there's information that you really want to grasp and become the master of, I think it's really important you write about it. Just talking to somebody, you're having to encode and re-encode information on about 5 different levels. When you're writing, you're having to do about 3 times that much. You're having to think, put words to it, put words to the images that are coming to mind, the mechanics of making your hand do the motion. So this is actual writing, not typing. And studies that they've done of undergraduates in college show that those who actually write out their notes in a lecture retain more information than those who will type it out on a computer. So writing is really, really great exercise for the brain. It's great in getting your circuits thinking and thinking critically and expanding thinking. Plus, it's a way for you to get acquainted with your own voice. A lot of the addicts that I work with can be really good at tuning into this critical parent voice inside themselves or this doubting voice inside themselves, but they've lost the ability to hear who they really are. And when I see folks really write, they can really differentiate between the different parts of themselves, and they can really hear their true voice and get comfortable hearing their true voice.
Yeah. You know, obviously, you have studied so much about brain development, and we all know that therapeutically, typing on the computer may be easier, but when you use handwritten information, you actually are able to tap into resources that aren't available when you're typing something up. And even, that's why we oftentimes ask people, you know, if you're doing a hard assignment, if you're right-handed, try your left hand. And if you're left-handed,
yeah,
try your right hand, because that kind of motor coordination taps into the opposite side of the brain and also pulls things out. Now, do you believe that your decks can help with trauma?
I've seen some of those exercises, especially the grounding deck. Initially, when I'm working with folks with trauma, they just have no idea of how to get their nervous system to calm down, and so that's a really good place to start. Another thing that I've pulled from some of the research on the brain is that in a traumatized brain, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere have markedly less connection than a non-traumatized brain. So that area in the middle, the corpus callosum, which is all these neurons connecting left to right, is actually less dense in a traumatized person. And what that means is that the traumatized person is going to have a really hard time holding a whole image of themselves and other people. We hold our positive evaluations of ourselves and others in one hemisphere of our brain, our negative evaluations in another. So with that disintegrated brain, you can live in one or the other. You might over-trust or over-evaluate situations and people that might be dangerous. Or you might be on the other side where you are over-evaluating the danger and over-evaluating the flaws in another person or in yourself. And so that ability to really see and hold both the positive and the negative about ourselves and others, I think, is really an important step in overcoming the trauma. So many of my clients, they were hurt in relationships, and they need to heal in relationships, but first they need to be able to feel safe and to feel like they can trust their judgment in relationships. And so those hurts me and helps me decks, I think, do a good job at exercising that muscle that lets them see both the positive and the negative in themselves and others, and to evaluate it appropriately.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I suspect that in the future you're going to have some different areas that you're actually going to create some decks for. Are you anticipating perhaps expanding your 5 decks into maybe 10 decks?
Yeah, I would really like to. Lately, I have really been focusing on my own physical health and learning how to exercise for the first time in my life, and it feels great. And I've wanted to do a deck around body image and just basic caring for your body. And we'll have to see kind of where inspiration strikes next. It's been funny with these that the topic has just kind of come to mind, and the 50 to 100 questions or words have just kind of come to mind. So we'll see what flows next.
Oh, that makes sense. And at some level, I bet you're just kind of depending on your higher power to let you know what needs to occur next.
Right. Wait for the next right step.
You got it. So as we end for tonight, what other hope and encouragement, what kind of strength can you give our listening audience about these decks and about your mission in terms of working with addicts and partners?
You know, I think one of the things that I love most about my job and the work that I get to do is I really get to enter this sacred space often of a person's story. Just this last week, there were probably 5 different aspects of my different client stories that just put me in awe and really helped me understand that person. I remember growing up reading biographies of great people, interesting people, and thinking, I'm really glad I have these biographies to read because there is nothing interesting or important or meaningful about my life. As I've had to do my own recovery work, I've really come to love my own story, and as I work with my clients, I really come to love their story too. So So I think the encouragement that I leave your listeners is your story really matters and your story is really important. I think you're well served by doing the work it takes to understand your story and to get to a point where you can tell your story. Because as you tell that story to others, I think you can feel the love for yourself and for others grow inside of you, and you can really be able to connect not just with the idea but the feeling that nothing has been wasted in your life, that you are important and that you do make a difference in your spheres of influence. So really dig into that story, really work to love that story and really work to tell that story. It was stories of other people's recovery that brought me into recovery. It was people's stories of change and hope and resilience that really brought me to the doorstep of being a therapist. So stories are powerful.
Oh, yeah, I would 100% agree with that. You know, that's one of the beauties of groups in general. I say, you know, when somebody does their work, everybody else gets to do a piece of their work by watching someone else. And what I hear you saying is when you share your story, you connect on a different level to other people and you help them along when you're honest about yourself. So, Jonathan Taylor, thank you so much for bringing us the opportunity to find out about these intensive daily decks. And we'll look forward to going to your website again and in a couple of days and looking for the special just for our listening audience. And clearly, I will believe it or not, I'm working next Monday, which is July 4th. So I will remind everybody to go back and get on your website. And if you would share with us again that website is...
That's John Taylor, LCSW, John, J-O-N, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, LCSW.com. And from that homepage, you can see there's a picture and there's also a segment in the banner that says Your Daily Intensive Decks. Just click on that and you'll be right in the Intensive Deck store.
Excellent. And I want to get you back on the show and talk to you about how you are working with teens, because I just finished my first sexual compulsion for adolescent boys group, and we did a lot of incredible things, and would love to hear how you're working with adolescents to make their life a little bit more manageable. So hope to talk to you soon.
That'd be great. I'd love to. And thanks for having me on your show. This was fun.
Okay, John, you take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, that was John Taylor again. He does these amazing decks of cards. Well, they're not card cards, but they're called your daily intensive decks. And they help you in several areas of your recovery. He promised us. Now, if you want to go to his website tonight and buy one or two decks, that's an excellent choice. But if you decide you'd like to get all of them, like I am, that's five decks. He's going to talk to his webmaster about offering us a special price for $70. And I really appreciate any break I can get in buying recovery tools. I know you do too. So I promise that I'll see you next week. Yep, July 4th. I started thinking to myself, I'm going to miss the fireworks. I wasn't thinking. But I think I'll probably get my fill of fireworks, and I hope that you do too. And, you know, it's an honor being here. I say that to you almost every week because I really mean that. And I want you to take special care of yourself this week. When in doubt, when you're struggling with anything, I want you to go to that sexhelp.com website and look for a CSAT in your area. And then work on self-care. If you're a partner and you're having trouble stabilizing, self-care, self-care, self-care. If you're an addict and you're feeling shame and guilt, again, do something nice for yourself. More than likely, you didn't get it as a kid. And I'm here to remind you to give it to yourself in the present. So, as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And I'll see you next Monday night for fireworks and sex help with Carol the Coach. Have a great week.